fucking stand springtime, man. I really can't. Like, everything's nice, you know, the weather's getting better, and, you know, flowers blooming and shit, but the backyard is a whole ass swamp, and I have to fight my dogs because for some reason they just think it's a gladiator pit the second they go in the backyard, and it's just mud everywhere. My mm-hmm. house is just mud, mm-hmm. straight up and down mud.
Yes.
And I have a whole process. I let them out one at a time so that way they don't hype each other up as much as humanly possible. Sometimes they have to go out at the same time, like right now. I came home, they were both in the crate, and I know how those little assholes are. If I take one out to do what they need to do, the other one in their waiting is just going to piss somewhere in the house. So it's not happening. But take them out, do what they need to do, and then they come back in. And we have purchased something called a mud buster. It's like a big old cup that holds water, and it's got these little frilly flangy things in it. You stick their paw in there and kind of smoosh it around. And whenever they smoosh it around in there, it gets all wet, you know, and you wring the paw out. And then you grab a towel and dry the paw off. Of course, I'm fighting each dog every single time I do that because they think, oh, dear sweet Christ, he's trying to tackle me and take me away somewhere. I need to fight this with every ounce of my being. So then from there, after that, they run inside. And it's not perfect. They're still, you know, wet. But of course, they just traipse it through the whole house. We have a trail that goes into the basement, up the stairs, and it diverts either towards the living room, in which case the carpet, basically the entryway, is just dirt and mud constantly, or down the hallway into their room where their crates are. I steam my floors and my carpet constantly, and it's like an exercise in futility. I feel like I'm losing sanity every single time. It's like, what the fuck is the point of me even doing this? Because in 2 seconds it's gonna be done again. Not even in 2 seconds. I've spent before like 4 hours doing everything. Whole 4 hours, my whole day is spent. Take the dogs outside, and the second, just one time, that's all it takes. It's just like I never did anything. Why am I doing this?
Feel your pain, sir. I have the same backyard. I don't have carpet, though, in the main area, so it's a little bit easier to clean up, but I literally have to sweep and mop like 5 times a day, and I only have one dog. I hate spring. And your comment about the weather's still bullshit, because it'll go to like 52 and snowing to like mm-hmm. 74 and too hot to be in your shirts. Like, it's mm-hmm. It's terrible. So I agree. That was a hell of a rant, though. I enjoyed that. And I feel all of those things. Like, I just concur on all levels.
Yeah, taking the dogs out in the winter or even the summer takes 5 minutes, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a 15, 20-minute process now.
Yeah. Yeah, fall and spring, it's way tougher. Yeah.
Fall isn't even that bad in our yard. Mm. Fall's not even. We get one spot in the back where the water kind of sits, but right now it's just slosh, just mud pit everywhere
so
in the back.
So much rain lately. So much rain. All right. Well, with that all said, let's just go right and get right into it.
Bitching aside,
let's just get right into this bad boy. Going in.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming, and you, dear listener, have decided for whatever reason to listen to another horrible gaming podcast. I'm not alone. Usually I am never alone. With me is
Neil, a.k.a. a soggy wizard.
A soggy wizard after a nice big rant about spring. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. We're doing another gaming podcast again today. And yeah, I do have a quick disclaimer. Next week, we will not be recording on the normal schedule. We have already pre-taped a horrible arena show, so please listen to it. Please comment on it. Please tell us what you thought of it. But we won't be doing fan traction next week. However, still leave your comments below. I will read all comments for next week's episode and this week's episode in 2 weeks when we're back to our normal recording schedule. And we also want to wish you, a tiny wizard, and your lovely wife, a small mage, a happy anniversary. Because that is why we are not recording. So, congratulations, guys.
Thanks.
But tonight, we still have a show to do. We have a fun show to do. But before we get into it, we want to thank the people who have made it possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you see a custom graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, this show and all the shows here, theme music, are provided by the man who makes music, my brother Nick Van Siders, and we thank him for that. And just aside, my brother is now a father. He had his baby.
Oh my god!
And he had his baby yesterday. Super, super congratulatory. As of recording, as of this coming out, it was last Friday, as of this coming out at like 3:47 in the morning. So, congratulations.
I thought it was the other way for a second. I was like, yeah, his wife's in labor right now, but I'm sure everything's going great.
Right. I've already had two nieces, but now I have my first nephew, and that is Connor James Van Sliders. And welcome to the world, Connor, and congratulations, man who makes the music, on your new family member. With that out of the way, we're going to be right back with Fan Traction, guys, and then a talking point that sounds fun. So we'll be right back with that.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first segment, arguably our most important segment, and that is Fan Traction. That's where we, the co-hosts, talk to you guys, the fans. We're a small show. We don't have a ton of viewers. So what do we do with that delicious smallness? Well, we don't make any money. For starters, for seconds, we get to read out your comments. We riff on them, we talk about them, we just shoot the shit with you guys, so to speak. So, let's get right into it. Jason had a lot to say this week. Let's see how much of it I disagree with. Jason starts with, the title of the bonus reminded me of a section in a Ravenloft book for some reason. What the hell was the bonus last week? Nature is not your friend. It is no one's friend. It does as it wants, and its wants often conflict with those of the needy. Rain seems to fall when dryness is needed. The sun disappears behind the clouds when the light is necessary. The wind starts to blow when the calmness is vital. Nature does not have it out for you. It simply doesn't care about you. The hell were we talking about in the last bonus? I do not remember. I do not remember, sir.
I'll be honest, I can't even remember last week's episode.
Yeah, I know, I remember it. I remember it, because we talked about the achievements. But I do not remember, I think it was the eclipse? I think maybe we were talking about the eclipse or something like that?
No, because it was last Monday was the eclipse. I think we talked about the eclipse during the pre-record episode.
No. The eclipse was like 2 Mondays ago, bro.
Seriously?
I think so.
No.
I'm pretty sure last episode has us talking about the eclipse.
No, guaranteed. I'm looking at the calendar right now because the last Monday was the eclipse on the 8th. So we recorded that on the... Wait a second. We recorded Monday night. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
There you go. So yep, we recorded just after... The eclipse. Yeah. So it had to be the eclipse. Because I was like, I know we recorded about the eclipse. I don't want to do this to him. But I know we talked about the eclipse. Jason then says, Neil is into astrology confirmed. Because you, instead of saying astronomy, said astrology at one point.
Yeah, no, definitely not astrology. And I do that all the time. Because I, for some reason, conflate that with astrophysics. Which is the most not.
The most not. The
most
farthest,
not.
Farthest from it could be. From. He then continues, forgot my breaches, State of Decay 2, achieved victory in Daybreak without any walls collapsing. Wow, Jason. That is... I play State of Decay 2. That is, whew, that's hard to accomplish. Over the Rainbow, State of Decay 2, completed Legacy Arc on Nightmare or better difficulty. I again applaud you because that is just the worst. Face Your Fears, Grounded, kill your first wolf spider. Yeah, nice. I and Thou, Prey, completed the game in the most empathetic way possible. Nice. The Whole Story, Dying Light, completed all side quests. Oh my god. I don't know if that game is worth completing all side quests. Like, okay, more props to you. That is devotion. Queen of the Ocean, Maneater, reached 100% objective completion in all areas. Man, you liked playing a shark, that is for sure. I'm guessing these are all his achievements that he accomplished, mm-hmm. by the way. It's the Final Countdown, Generation Zero, complete all the main missions. Nice. Long Service Medal, Mass Effect Legendary, completed Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3 with the same character. Nice. I've done that 2 times. New Colorado Order, Wasteland 3, disposed the Patriarch and liberated Colorado from its rule. Wasteland 3 rocks, so that's awesome. You have 2 hands for a reason. Baldur's Gate 3. Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't know you... Oh, you were playing Baldur's Gate 3. IYK, if you know, you know. I do not remember what that's for, but I'm going to guess it's sex stuff. That's what I'm going to assume. You have 2 hands for a reason. Might not be, though, because I didn't think he romanced anybody. We'll have to wait. He then continues again. In City of Heroes / Villains, you could earn badges for various activities, defeating certain numbers of enemies of a certain type or a certain boss, or complete a series of missions, or some were placed in key areas of the maps. Then you could equip a badge, and the name would appear either over your name or under it, I forget. That is actually, that still exists in a lot of games. Skull and Bones does that with the Ubisoft challenges. There's a few games that still do that, where you can kind of earn, like, nameplates and then attach it to it. Naraka Blade Point does that a lot. Naraka Blade Point does that a lot. Like, they have special medals that you only get for completing in certain seasons that you can then attach to your, like, your like game plate or whatever. So like there's a lot of games that still do that.
Mm-hmm.
Neil has nothing to add. Continuing.
Well, the only thing I was gonna add in Prey, I actually almost got that achievement accidentally. Because I was playing through in a very specific manner. But I accidentally vented a guy out of a warehouse box, basically, because I guess it's a little spoilery, I guess, for Prey. So if you want to go, because it is one of those games, it's best to go in blind. The whole conceit of the game is a test, effectively, and at the end, you're kind of judged on the actions you take, and there are like 4 main people who like really need your help. And I helped everybody, but didn't realize that one guy, I just like hit the wrong button and just like launched him out into the vacuum of space.
Oh no.
So whoopsie. There was no coming back from that. Yeah.
Whoopsie.
And it's funny because they go through at the end and like, oh, they helped me out with this. They took good care to X, Y, and Z. And then the one guy was like, hey, he didn't give a shit about me. He just fucking killed me. Just threw me out into space to die. Like, mommy.
Sorry about that. Accidental button press. You understand. All right. Jason then continues. Gaming mega corporations are neither devs nor gamers. They have no idea how to deal with games. It's similar to games journalists who come over from a different topic because gaming has become popular and they're not gamers. Or game devs who ain't gamers but activists who put their coding or art skills to push an agenda rather than make a fun game. Or the recent Hollywood trend of trolling through the 80s for material long after the 80s nostalgia trip ended. These people are so far removed from the actual audience for their product that they just can't grasp what actual gamers or movie watchers want. And, you know, Jason, I can't disagree with most of that, honestly. Unfortunately, the people who are spending the money to make the product don't understand the audience of the product. And that is very frustrating, especially in gaming right now, you know. Although I'll say this, in gaming, I mean, the debt is coming due, let's put it that way, because the complete lack of understanding of what their audience wants for so long is starting to cost them heavily. Continue. Go ahead, man. You got something to say?
No, I mean, it was just going to be a little bit of an add-on on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's weird because it's been prevalent in movies like a lot for a long time. And I don't know if it's just because it's different mediums or different audiences, but I feel like people are a lot more vocal in the negative fashion about movies that are like remakes, or why are we making this sequel, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. Like, don't get me wrong. I was a huge fan of Tron Legacy. Mm-hmm. The original Tron has a special place in my heart, but it never needed a sequel. And they've been, you know, teasing now the third entry. Yet again, it's been over like 10 years since Legacy came out, but I'm still like, why do we need this ... but I want to see it. But I feel like the remake, remasters, you know, that sort of whole thing with games, remakes, remasters, even like having achievements in games and everything like that, it's a way to get people invested in something that they already know is a surefire hit.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just treated entirely different. Like, nobody is like, well, why are we getting the Final Fantasy VII remake? Like, what the hell? Like, nobody's upset about that, really, like, en masse at least.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. We keep doing this the same. They keep doing the same stuff over and over again. Movies and video games. And they keep expecting the well not to run dry. And the problem is you're taking from a finite amount of something. Period. Like, you can only process that so many times before you have to go find a new source, you know what I mean, for what you for what you're doing. And like, we're not doing that. Nobody's trying to do that, except for the indies, and they're being very successful. So I don't quite understand what we're doing there. But Jason then says, we're playing Sea of Thieves, Valheim, and now Pal World has fixed multiplayer issues. We might add that to the mix. And Pal World is actually one of my odds and ends, or my news biddies, too. So I'm just going to blow it now, get it out of the way. Pal World has already said that they are adding multiplayer versus PvP arena stuff. So you can finally have your pals take on other people's pals. But what's interesting is you'll also be able to go in with your weapons and fight other people as well. So it'll be person versus person versus pal versus pal. Still think Pal World is doing great things. I think it's a great game. They got a great starter, and I'm glad to see them continuing to build on a great product.
Mm-hmm.
Battletoad jumps in. Capcom has to sustain live... I do not agree with this. Capcom has to sustain live servers. This is the reason for the microtransactions. And we live in an age where people no longer want to grind. So let them pay for the skip on time in a single-player game. You know, I don't really care about the paying to level up your character. Like, honestly, if that's something you want to do, that's fine. I don't necessarily think that the whole sustained live service argument is there. I mean, Capcom is going to continue to make money off this thing. Capcom's already... This is a $70 game. They're making plenty of money off of it. They're going to make plenty of money on their DLCs. I don't necessarily think that, like, the microtransactions are warranted by that. That being said, my problem with this was not that it had microtransactions. My problem with this was the way they did it. It's not the microtransactions themselves. It's the fact that they didn't tell anybody there was microtransactions in the game, and when they sent out review copies, there were no microtransactions in the game. They lied about there not being microtransactions in the game. They pulled a bait and switch. Please understand me, internet out there, because I feel like there's a lot of comments about the microtransactions, and I just want to make this clear again. The microtransactions being in the game doesn't bother me that much. I mean, I think they're stupid, but it doesn't bother me. What bothers me is they lied about it. They bait and switched everybody so that it could get 9s and 10s or 8s out of 10s across the board, and then, but nobody got to consider the microtransactions until after it came out. And a lot of games are doing this, where they send out review copies that are specifically missing features of the game so that the reviewers do not have the opportunity to actually weigh in on the entirety of the game. They also don't tell the consumer about it. Maybe you're okay with the microtransactions. Maybe I'm okay with the microtransactions. Maybe plenty of players are okay with the microtransactions. You need to give them the choice, though, because there are people buying a $70 game who maybe don't want to buy it because it's got microtransactions in it. And that's their prerogative. That's their right. It's a bait-and-switch product bullshit that I have a problem with.
Yeah, I think the root of my issue really lies with the fact that it's a single-player game. Like, I don't know.
It doesn't matter to me.
That for me, I feel like it's one thing having microtransactions in a single player game on its own. Like, that's its own entire different thing. But if the argument for their existence is a server for it, there are plenty of other like multiplayer games out there, or other games that Capcom has put out that have, you know, like those multiplayer, you know, focus things.
Yeah, but they have to keep it up because of the pawn system.
And
there is a heavy multiplayer element.
There's that, and that's fair. That's a fair criticism.
I wouldn't even really call this game a single player game, to be quite frankly honest, after seeing what the pawns are and how you interact with them. Like, they're a required resource that you have to kind of like interact with, and they are completely and totally based on other people's characters. Like, that's a multiplayer facet of this game. Like, I would not call this game a full single player game. You cannot pop this game in and play it without an internet connection and the connectivity and the work of other people. You just can't.
And that's the thing, is like something like this, there's a little bit more nuance to it.
Right.
But there's was the Star Wars Outlaws that's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
That is going to require an online connection.
Online connection, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sort of shit, and if they jam microtransactions into that too, like that, there's no one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure even with the server stuff that people are doing, the microtransactions, it's like 1% of the players are spending enough to justify their existence. So, I mean, it's hard to really get at the root of everything overall, yeah, because there could be an argument made. Let's say that the pawn system wasn't even there and it didn't need an online mm-hmm. connection. Would it still be the same game one way or another?
Right.
Yes, no, maybe. You know, it could change the entire dynamic of the game without it, and at that point, we'll never know the answer to that.
Right. From what I hear, it's not... the pawn system's pretty integral to the fun of the game, from what I've heard from the people who are playing it. I haven't played it. I do want to skip ahead real quick, since we have another comment about the microtransactions from Bill Master General, Phil Billy. He says, about the microtransactions in DD2, don't get me wrong, I think they're shitty and dumb, but just as an anecdote on how pointless they are, I'm 42 hours in. I don't know where you buy them if you wanted to. Yes, though they do need to work on performance. However, still my game of the year so far, having so much fun. And here's the thing, I think this game is good. I think it's great from what I've seen. I mean, yeah, it's had some performance issues, but literally every game for the last 5 years have had performance issues out the gate. So it's at a point where, like, that's the norm for a AAA game, unfortunately. I wouldn't hold that necessarily against it at ratings time unless it was something the level of Cyberpunk. But honestly, the big reasons I had with Cyberpunk weren't necessarily the bugs. We've talked about that before. Again, just want to say it again. I don't have any problems with the microtransactions being there. I have a problem with the fact that they didn't tell anybody about the microtransactions until the game was released. That's my big issue here, that my big takeaway. And if I didn't make that clear when we were talking about it last week, I just want to hammer it home now. I think they're shitty and dumb, just like Phil Billy. I don't think that they need to be there. He says he can find them to buy if he wanted to, which I think is hysterical. And from what I understand, the microtransactions themselves don't even really do that much for you. But that being said, we should have known about them ahead of time. They knowingly kept this from us because they knew that they'd get bad press about it before release. And we've had other games do this, and it is very frustrating and a practice I do not like at all. It is something that really infuriates me because, especially when you're cutting features out of a game for the reviewers, which, do I think the reviewers are mostly corrupt? We've talked about it. I think in a lot of ways IGN's reviewing process is corrupt. I think a lot of them are very corrupt, unless you're going to the independent guys on YouTube. That being said, they're our last bastion. Corrupt or not, they're the people that tell us, that at least give us the news on what the game is. They tell us what the game is. And when you keep stuff from them, you're essentially conning us into purchasing the game without all the information. And that's what really pisses me off. Not that the microtransactions are there, not that they're good or bad. It's the fact that we didn't know about them in any way, shape, or form, and then the game was released, and lo and behold, boom, there's microtransactions. You know?
Yeah, it's almost like, weirdly enough, I don't know why this thought process came to my head, but it's kind of close to it. If you were to go to a restaurant and order a side salad, you look at the list of ingredients and it looks great to you. Fantastic. I'll take a side salad. All right. Excellent. Your side salad comes out and then all of a sudden, I hate olives. Let's say there's olives on it. Well, you didn't tell me that there were olives on this salad. Well, yeah, it's fine. We just toss them on. Just pick it. Right. Just pick around it if you don't want it. I mean, I'm probably still going to pick around it. I'm probably still not going to partake of the microtransactions, but I would have thought I was getting something else, and I actually was.
Right. Even and if it's not a big thing, you're still getting that.
Even if
extra
it's not
thing.
A big thing, even if it's not a big thing, like we talked about it before with like Devil May Cry 5. Devil May Cry 5 had microtransactions crammed into it just because reasons. Yeah. They had a very light online component with it that nobody really ever used. But if you want the red orbs to be the justification effectively, or the online component to be the justification for the red orbs, that's fine, but you can enjoy that game completely solo without touching any of that stuff. And that's where it kind of gets into that weirdness.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And again, my biggest issue, again, is the fact of them not telling us about it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's really the creme to me is that, because we've had other games do this, and it's like, look, you want to put microtransactions in your game, fine, take your licks ahead of time and let the people know that they're in there. You know, it's not a popular thing to do, people don't like them, but you have to let us know that they're in there, otherwise you're basically defrauding us, which I don't like, you know. But we gotta move on. So we go to William Hohen. Hi, exclamation point. Thanks for the achievements discussion. I really appreciate it. I'm the same as Zach. I didn't care at all when it started. I remember turning off the pop-ups for PS4 Trophy because I thought it was annoying. Nowadays, I'm freaking hunting them. Well, only the games I really enjoy, but still. I hate the take the first step type of achievement. It's so stupid. Lastly, what I really like about trophies is to know how many players got that. It's super useful to see the percentages of people who finished the games or cleared hard mode, etc. My top two proudest, is this a word? Yeah, proudest is a word. Trophies I got are the Platinum of Scourgebringer because, one, it's my favorite game of all time, and two, it's really hard, and it is. It's fucking insane. A second one I didn't get myself, but my daughter got the Cat Can't Catch Me achievement in Stray. She really worked hard and got it. I was so proud of her. For my off-topic, I got into pinball, virtual versions, but still. Thanks for the show. Hashtag day 41 of the strike. Yeesh. Sorry to hear that, Will.
Yeah.
It's no fun. It's no fun. Yeah. Yeah, that's where I'm at with achievements. I still have that dopamine release when I see the little pop-up. Same time, am I going to achievement hunt? No. I think I've completed maybe two games ever. So. And then finally, Asylum 66. Dragon's Dogma 2 is not the new Skyrim. Combat fun, quests are mostly fetch, follow and escort, and that's if they work. Yeah, there's still some performance issues here. I don't know, this is a weird one, because I know Asylum doesn't like Skyrim. So for him to say it's not the new Skyrim, but then say, like, combat is fun. I mean, Skyrim was mostly fetch quests. I love Skyrim, but that's what almost every open world game is mostly fetch quests when you really boil it down. And if combat was fun, it might actually have, like, I like Skyrim. I like Skyrim's combat, but it's pretty basic compared to what you have nowadays. I've said repeatedly, as much as I love Skyrim, if it came out today, it would be a failure. It would be the level of Starfield. It would be a nightmare. It's good because it came out in the 360 era. You know what I mean? Like, and that's why it was amazing. And now we have all this nostalgia for it. That being said, I don't know. This is a weird... I gotta say, Asylum, you don't like Skyrim. So why would you be sticking up for it here? I've heard good things about Dragon's Dogma 2. I will probably eventually play it. Again, I have been trying to be very... I've just made a ton of purchases in the last couple of months, and I want to get through some of the games I have or get done with them. I'm still not done with Skull and Bones. I'm still not done. Plus, Remnant 2 has more DLC coming out I want to get involved in, you know, stuff like that. I just want to play the games I've got right now. And Dragon's Dogma 2 doesn't do enough to suck me in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right, do we have anything else to say?
No, sir.
It was a long fan interaction, but
yes, it was.
It is what it is. Thank you guys all for your comments. If you want us to read your comments, you know what to do. Again, next week, there won't be a fan interaction because it was pre-recorded. We already recorded it. But in 2 weeks, I will read out everything for the last two episodes. So it might be a very big episode on fan interaction. As far as today's topic, it comes from Neil. We're going to talk about handhelds. Is it the future of gaming? They have had a resurgence and in a very big and different way. Handhelds used to be kind of like half the power of your gaming consoles, but could still have some games and it was in your pocket. Now I would almost say that some of the handhelds equal or dwarf some of your consoles. So this is going to be an interesting conversation. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with that.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our talking point. Today we're talking about handhelds, their legitimacy in the business, and what they mean to us now, and what they're going to be in the future. Am I saying all this right, Neil?
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, I was just kind of thinking about it earlier today because I watched a gaming trivia, Did You Know Gaming? Basically, They have a bunch of like game facts about just random things. And they had one about the Game Boy Advance. And it just got me thinking how wild it is that we went from something that basically had a thermonuclear reactor strapped to the back of it to play games that were just beeps and boops to now having full-fledged gaming PCs that you can hold in your hand. It's absolutely wild to think about. And kind of like you said before, you know, we're in this weird spot of before handheld consoles used to be like the secondary. The secondary thing. That's what you play when you can't get a hold of your actual home console. Yeah. Your Game Boys, your Nintendo DSs, you know, stuff like that. And then I almost I don't know as if I would squarely place it at Nintendo's feet, but I feel like Nintendo had a whole hell of a lot to do with it. Once they started with the Wii U and then moved over to the Switch with this whole idea of a portable yet home console sort of situation, it kind of opened the door, because after that we get stuff like the Steam Deck and the ROG Ally and the, you know, all these other different things, turning your phone into like a cloud device where you can play console games. And it really kind of made me wonder, is portable gaming really the future of what we're really going to be moving towards? Is it going to be secondary to like console slash home PC gaming, or is it going to be something that's like supplementary?
Well, it's an interesting debate, an interesting question, especially when you consider the fact that, like, you know, we've been talking a lot about like the next generation of consoles, you know, and what that's going to look like, what that's going to be. One of the big issues that we have is, you know, the technology that makes the consoles that are out right now has not come down in price, which means that the
is that coming through?
Yes, it is. Your dogs
Jesus
have been barking
whole
for
Christ.
Some time.
It's absolute insanity upstairs. I have no idea what's happening.
Okay. All right. So
Just turn my game down.
These consoles, what they're going to look like, because the consoles, the generation we're in right now has not come down in price, and it does not look like it's going to come down in price, because the technology has not come down in price. The other thing that we've been talking about a lot lately is the incremental upgrade process becoming less and less of a payoff, you know? You're going from, like, 16 bits to 60 bits to whatever, and now... muted his mic. Now we're talking about just like ray tracing is bullshit. I don't care what anybody says. I've watched it. I can only tell when a game's ray traced on like two different games. Recently there was this article, was it Kotaku or PC Gamer or something like that, where they had everybody in the office look at two games side by side, one with ray tracing, one without, and ask which one was the ray tracing. And the only people who could actually identify the ray tracing were absolute computer experts. You would not see ray tracing unless they're showing it to you with side-by-side comparison. That's just where we're at. And you're paying $200 to $300 more for your console for that feature at this point. So, like, we're at that point where the upgrades are so incremental, so small, but the cost to make them are so high, you have to wonder, what do we do with the next console? And it's one of the things I wanted to point out first when you came up with this topic. We go portable, because we don't have, like right now, we don't have we don't have any more upgrades, right? There's no more technology to get out of these consoles for graphically, like... So we have to find a way to make them more interesting. And I think one of the ways we do that is we start trying to put that same technology on portability, which would then, you know, speak to, okay, all right, you know, we got the ray tracing and everything, it's really great, but now we can do it on a handheld, you know? And I think that that is definitely where we're going to start to go. You had talked about it last week that Phil Spencer had all but confirm that they're working on some sort of portable device for the Xbox. Switch was heavily successful, though I'm very nervous about its predecessor. We've already seen ROG Ally and Steam Deck become hugely popular among gamers right now. And I'm going to tell you this right now, guys. Steam Deck is a console. Like, if you get a port for that, like a TV port for that, you could basically use that to play console games. Like, it's a console, it's a Switch, but for PC, it is way more powerful than a Switch is. When you really look at what it can do and how it can operate, it blows the Switch out of the water. And it's only like $100 more at this point, $200 more, like something like that. Like, like almost nonsense, like almost a non-element price. So you look at stuff like that, you look at that portability, being able to basically do what your home consoles can do already. Yeah, it's a very interesting discussion, and you have to be wondering if the other companies, obviously, except for Sony, because they're idiots. But because they're actively shutting down this possibility. But if the other companies aren't thinking, yeah, let's try and make it portable, that'll be the next feature. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely going back to the specs thing. It actually kind of segues into something I wanted to mention.
Sure.
Oddly enough, when I thought of this here, I didn't even think of the fact that the whole reason I was later getting here today was we were over at Kayla's cousin's house.
Okay.
And her one cousin picked up an ROG Ally.
Oh, wow.
So I finally got my hands on one.
Yeah,
I got to actually screw around with it. So it's absolutely insane. When we first got there, he asked about playing. He wanted to potentially pick up Cyberpunk for it. And from the jump, I was like, I don't know. That might not be a great idea. Just because, I mean, you'll have to play it in potato mode and it may not be a great experience. A little bit later, he went and grabbed it and said, here, go ahead and toy around with it. And I loaded up. He had Game Pass on there and he had Forza Horizon on there. So I was like, okay,
yeah,
let's see how this works. The sound was great. It ran at 60 frames.
Oof.
It was solid. I mean, granted, it got a little warm. And the battery did tank a little bit, even in the not even 5 minutes that I played it, because we were actually doing something else at the same time. So, I mean, I look at that and I'm like you said, it's a relatively spec heavy game.
Yeah.
But it was fine because it was on that smaller screen. Mm-hmm. And kind of like you said, with specs and everything, I mean, I've always been one like, I turn off ray tracing. I don't care about ray tracing.
Right.
It's something that in a lot of games I play action heavy. Uh-huh. I don't have time to sit there and stop and look at a puddle to see what's reflected off of it. I walk past the puddle and go to the game that I'm playing, you know. Right. You know, that's what these games are for me. And I had been on the fence about picking up an Ally just because, like, I don't know how this is really going to fare because I'm concerned that it's not going to be able to keep up. It has the power and capability behind it. And that's where we are now. You can get something that, granted, the Ally, depending on the configuration you get, he got the extreme version. So it was a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, they're pretty pricey.
Yeah, but I mean, if you compare that next to, let's say, buying another Xbox or PlayStation console.
Yep.
You're only really paying an extra $100.
Yeah.
And you can carry that shit around with you. And then from there, like you said, there's docks. Hell, the Ally, while it's expensive and a little crazy, you can actually get a proprietary cable for an external GPU enclosure.
Oh, jeez.
And you can, yes. And you can slap a 4090 in that motherfucker and just be primo ready to go. I mean, it's going to be overkill, but it's pretty solid. I mean, that one that he had 16 gigabytes of RAM on the console itself.
And then there's my PC has
32.
Yeah.
It's a little handheld, solid processor, solid memory. Storage was fine. I mean, it could be better, but you can expand the either an SD card or an NVMe slot inside. You know, it's not something anymore that's like portable games had always seemed like a throwaway or, you know, back in the day, you brought your Game Boy to school. So you had something to do on the bus for a while. But, you know, you're not going to be staying up often like if you're at home playing whatever's on your handheld game for hours at a time. If your actual home console's there,
right?
You know, portable games were always seen as, well, I can get games on the go. This is a last ditch sort of effort to play, which is a it's a bastardization effectively of gaming, but it was
people would line up for. You had your Pokemons and stuff like that, but like overall, it was, this is how I do it in the car because I can't take Nintendo with me. I think that, like, you look at, like, the Steam Deck. I would say the Steam Deck, if you had a dock for it and a plug-in for it, is comparable to some of the consoles you can get right now. The Xbox, the PlayStation 5, the Xbox. I think it's comparable. Does it beat them? No, but it can definitely hold up to them. It can definitely play most of the games they can play. And at that point, you're basically plugging it in and then taking it with you if you want. You know, like, that's pretty epic. If you were to say to me, here's these three consoles, right? And like, talking about what you're saying about the next generation. You know, the next generation, we're talking about those consoles being... I mean, we don't know what they're going to price them as, right? Like, it's way too far off for us to actually have an idea. But the fact is that none of the consoles that they're selling today have come down in price. Nope. So when you weigh that logic with console generations past, that means this is going to be like at least $200-$300 more than what they are right now if they're going to be bigger. Right? So you're talking about like a $500, $600 console right now going up to like $700, $800, somewhere in there. Maybe even a grand. You look at the Steam Deck and the ROG Ally, like you'd be like, all right, you could buy this $900 system that is going to be gaudy and ugly if PlayStation made it, or a fucking refrigerator if Xbox made it. They're going to take up a bunch of space. Or you could buy this one for $100 cheaper and you could take it with you everywhere. Does it play everything? Yeah, it plays everything they do. So, like, it's tough, you know, because you have that space. Like, who would pick the console at that point? Who would say, yeah, I want the big, gaudy, aesthetic nightmare? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's actually something, because I was going to mention there a minute ago, we'll say $500 is my top end on a console.
Right.
Straight up and down. $500 is my top end. If they go six, seven, eight higher than that, like, I don't give a single solitary shit, man. Right. You can keep that shit cranking up and up and up from there. I don't need it that bad.
I mean, especially at that point, especially if you got a PC that is going to cost, that if you want to put the same stuff in it, is going to cost maybe $200. You know what I mean? Like it's just insane to me where those prices are going to be. You know, I'm running PC right now. I'm on a 5600 to talk to you about the specs thing. I'm the same way with specs. I don't give a shit. I don't even give a good goddamn about the graphics. I want the game to be fun. And that's it. I run in potato mode a lot on my graphics card. It's old. It's 5600 XT. I don't think I'm going to need to change that thing for a while, personally, because I could keep potatoing it. And I don't think the games can get that much bigger graphically. Like, so I think that, like, and even if it did, and I had to upgrade my graphics card, I'm looking at what? 250, 300? Compared to a whole nother console, that's another $800, $900. You know, sure, my PC cost me $1,200 when I first built it. But that was fucking, what, 5 years ago at this point? Like, yeah. I haven't had to upgrade or touch it since.
Like, yeah, that's the thing is, if I had one wish with my PC just because I decided to build at the worst possible time, I would maybe kick mine up to a 3070, but that's all I need.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's all I would really need, because everything else is totally fine with RAM, CPU. I may have to upgrade the power supply if I do a 3070. That's neither here nor there.
I've only had one game require me to have a 5800 instead of a 5600, and it ran just fine. I turned the shadows down, it ran just fine. I mean, it was Starfield.
Yeah,
and that's it. Nothing else is required more than that. You know, it recommend higher, but who cares?
Yeah, it's like you said, we've basically hit a critical mass.
Yeah.
I mean, with games, there's not much else that you can do that's, you know, hardware system level. I mean, they're trying to do stuff with like cloud computing and everything like that, which is cool. That's awesome. I'm glad we're still looking for ways to improve these games in such a way, you know, that's beyond our current technical limits.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's cloud. That doesn't live on a hard drive. That doesn't live and die by, you know, your graphics card or your VRAM, or your physical, like your actual RAM. That sort of stuff doesn't matter, you know, one way or another. And kind of like we were talking about before, I mean, what's the purpose of a new console? And, you know, even the PlayStation, we've already talked about. PS5's actually gone up in price, technically.
Yeah.
Technically, it's gone up in price if you want the disc version of it.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to get price cuts. This rumored PS5 Pro that's going to be announced this year, and probably the discless Series X. Discless Series X is going to be the same exact price as your standard Series X. And the PS5 Pro, I think they're going to tack another $100 on top of it.
I don't disagree. I think personally, too, you get to this point where you hit that critical mass, so the only moves are lateral at this point. Like, you really can't do that much more on a console. Like, without it being basically a PC. Like, that's the whole thing, too. Like, console gamers, what's the biggest reason a console gamer the two biggest reasons a console gamer doesn't buy a PC instead? A, number one, I don't want to build a PC. It looks too complicated, right? Number two is cost. I don't want to spend, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 on a computer. Okay, I get that. I get that. I'll say this. Upgrading a computer and spending that, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 is way cheaper than buying a new console every 5 years. But fine, I'll acquiesce. In the short term, if you don't already have a computer, it is cheaper to buy a console. However, what happens when it's not anymore? And that's where we're getting. Where why wouldn't you spend $400 more to buy a PC and then upgrade that PC as you needed to? Instead of the fucking console, which you're gonna spend, $900 on it. And I want a tinfoil hat for a little bit. I'm putting that tinfoil hat on. I don't think the next Xbox console is going to be $800-$900 because I don't think it's going to be a traditional console release. I think what it's going to be is a lateral move to a handheld hybrid. That's what I think. I think they're gonna be like, we can do what we can do on the Series X with a handheld as well. And what they're going to do is they're going to put it somewhere around like $600-$700, which will undercut PlayStation, but it'll be portable. It'll be like it'll be like the Super Switch, basically. And it'll compare with like Steam Deck and ROG Ally and fall somewhere in between them. That's what I think they're planning. And I hate to say this because I'm not a huge Microsoft fan right now, but that's smart. That's the way to go. That's the only way to go. Because if you keep just trying to like slap graphical fidelity on things, we've reached that critical mass where it's just too much for too little, you know? Before it was like you're paying $10 for these huge increments, but now we're paying an extra $200 for little teeny increments that aren't even really perceptible to the human eye. I mean, plus, look at where TVs are. Like, at this point, you're talking about anything higher than what you're putting on a TV right now, you'd have to get a whole new fucking TV, and probably one of the most high-end TVs out there for it to even matter. So you're not even talking about just $800, $900 for the console. You're talking about $800, $900 for the console, and then the biggest, baddest TV out there, because otherwise it's not going to be able to, you're not even going to get the effects of it. You know what I mean? So at that point, buy a PC, you know?
Yeah, and the opposite is also true. You know, technology that has existed for a while, it continues to go down in price. You know, it's just the law of electronics, basically.
Usually.
But in the argument for like a handheld console, handheld PCs and stuff like that, you can run a game at, let's call it, if you lock some of them at 30 frames. If you do 30 frames on a handheld on a like an 1800p display, that's a handheld thing, You're fine, man. You might even be able to get away with 60 frames in a lot of cases, depending on the game and how it runs and how it's optimized. Because, you know, we've had this debate before, and I can make some concessions if it's going to be a portable thing. Mm-hmm. Especially if it runs natively on the device itself and I don't have to worry about cloud shenanigans.
Yeah.
I feel like it is going to be a bold prediction would be within, let's say, 2 years from now, you'd be able to pick up your standard Steam Deck, maybe even the Ally, for anywhere probably about $200, especially the Steam Deck. Because you can even get the refurbs of those for $280 through Steam directly, through Valve directly on the Steam store. Those things are going to go down in price. And I feel like people are going to realize more and more as time goes on, as we deal with more and more AAA bullshit, that, hey, I don't need this graphical fidelity that they're trying to push to me. I can do just fine with portable gaming.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to kill consoles.
No.
But I think it's going to take a lot to kill a home console.
I think what's going to kill consoles are consoles, because I don't think...
I was going to say, I mean, at this point...
I don't think anybody's going to pay what they're going to want us to pay.
Exactly. And I mean, we're already kind of to that point. I mean, what is it? Next Gen Console Watch. They did a couple weeks ago, they were talking about the rumored PS5 Pro, and they always do a poll.
Yeah.
A poll at the end of every episode. When they came back the following week, they had asked something like, would you buy a PS5 Pro? And it was something stupid. I think it was like 60% of everybody is like, fuck no, I wouldn't touch that thing. Mm. With only about maybe 20 to 15% saying, I think I might go for it, maybe possibly.
Yeah.
It's something that I don't know. I don't know what place it really has here and now. But as, like I said, as time has gone on, you know, consoles, they're having less and less of, I wouldn't say value, but more of like a strength behind them.
Yeah.
Because we have options like cloud. We have options that are now viable with portable consoles.
Yeah.
I would love to see what those sales numbers are. Like if they were all made public.
Yeah.
For these portable PCs over like a 5-year span and see what happens. Because I feel like it's going to be an upward trajectory.
Yeah, I feel like those are becoming more and more the norm. Especially with, you know, I truly believe Steam Deck is a success. It has been a success for them. And it's only going to go up. You know what I mean? Especially when the people who are afraid to get a PC realize they could just go out and get a Steam Deck with a dock and have access to Steam, you know, which is the best video game storefront, period. So like, I think that's a really interesting conversation about where that goes and how it goes. I think we've kind of covered this. We could probably wrap it up if you want. I don't really have anything else to say about it. Personally, I think Xbox's next console is going to be a hybrid that is only slightly more expensive. I think that's going to be another death nail in PlayStation, which has just continued to show being out of touch with people. And like I said, I hate Microsoft. They're an evil-ass company. But they weaponize our comments against us, whereas Sony doesn't listen to us at all. They actively do the opposite thing that we ask for on a regular basis, whereas Xbox listens to us and goes, how can we make them give us money because of this? And because of that, Xbox is becoming more successful. I think that if this lateral hybrid move would be really killer. I don't think Sony's willing to do that. I think they're just going to keep stacking bullshit incremental features on it until it's so overbuilt that there's just no reason for anybody to purchase it. And yeah, I think handhelds have a big place in the future of gaming.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, if we're all done, you want to hit the news?
Let's hit the news.
All righty.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the news, our final segment, where we collect smaller headlines, don't necessarily, we think, deserve a talking point, but we want to tell you guys about them, we want to riff about them. Looks like it's going to be a quick show, because I only have one newsy bit. From what I understand, Neil only has one, and it's not even that newsy. So I'm going to go ahead and start us off.
Just do yours, yeah.
I had one other, but I talked about it in Fan Traction, which was the PAL World Arena. And I cannot remember his last name. I'm very sorry. I forgot to write it down in my notes. But Neil something or other, the guy who voices Asterion, was recently interviewed by IGN about Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 3 and Asterion and all this stuff. And he straight up said most of the time he's very fine with being done with a character. He's usually totally okay with being done with a character, but there's something about Asterion that makes him want to come back to the character and do him again. He would love to do him in a new game. He'd love to do him in a new movie, since there are movies coming out after the success of the D&D movie. And he would be very excited about that. And might I just say, let's make that happen, because he is a great voice actor. Even if you hate the character of Asterion, he's a great voice actor. He likes the character. The character's interesting. And I would love to see a video game character from Baldur's Gate 3 appear in a movie or show up in another game. I think that would be just so cool. Let's do it. Let's get Asterion somewhere else. I think that would be cool. And while you're at it, let's just put all the other ones in. I would love if Honor Among Thieves has like him and Karlach in it. I would absolutely geek out about that. So yeah, that's my only newsy bit. I think that's really cool. That's it.
And I think that that's something too that very well could happen, because yeah. I had seen like a week or so ago that in this amicable split between Larian and Wizards, Wizards retains the rights to the character.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, which is kind of cool and kind of shitty at the same time.
Wizards of the Coast is not a great company
a whole
right
separate
now.
Thing.
Like,
yeah,
as far as TTRPGs go, they're like
there's
Microsoft.
There's a lot of shitty shit.
Oh yeah, we've talked about it on the pod on the yes. Wizards Respite Sanctorum. Check it out on this channel. I do a podcast with Ash from Wizards Respite, and we have talked many times about D&D and their crazy ass bullshit.
Ever since the OGL shit, like it's not been a great time, man.
So many, just one after another, insanity. Yeah.
But on a relatively semi-related note, the one thing that I wanted to bring up, talking about like movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Have you watched any of the Fallout show?
I've gotten to see two episodes. My wife doesn't like it, so I'm not going to watch it with her anymore. So it's going to take me longer to get through the rest of it than it did the first two episodes. But I can always tell if my wife doesn't like a show because of the amount of comments and the rate at which they come at me. And there's a point where I'm like, I am not going to force you to watch this show. I'm going to watch this on my own. But I really enjoyed the first two episodes. I love Walton Goggins is one of my favorite actors, period. I love anything with him in it, and they have basically allowed him to do
whatever the fuck he wants.
Oh god, he's so amazing in this. And like, he was on a show, there's a show, an old show that Neil, I don't know if you'll ever watch, but I highly urge you to watch it, called Justified. And it has Timothy Oliphant and Walton Goggins. Is where Walton Goggins came from, really. That's like where he got his start. There's like seven seasons of it. It is phenomenal. And like, that is like where he comes from. And from then on, I'm like, basically he's just doing that character as the ghoul. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all here for it. I love him so much. Everybody else is doing a great job of the character. The story is interesting. They're doing really good justice to the world, from what I've seen so far. How much have you watched?
Almost the same point. We got through three episodes.
Okay.
I definitely it's weird because we've talked at length about like TV movie adaptations, you know, of games. Mm-hmm. And this, I feel like, strikes that perfect balance, because they've done the thing that I feel like you and I They took a little bit of what our personal preferences are and jammed them together. Yeah, they keep the lore. They keep everything the same, all the same shit all over the place. But they tell an entirely different original story within that world.
Yep.
And it's prime for that. I mean, it's the entire U.S. and every single game has been a different spot, basically. Yep. So why not do that, you know, with the show itself and have original characters and an original story with it? Love the callbacks. I love the production value overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, even something like with the power armor, armor, when they're walking around, it's clearly like plastic that's made to look like it's metal, but the sound work is done well enough to it's like, hey, this is actually kind of legit. Yeah. They have not leaned on a lot of CG. I mean, obviously there's stuff, you know, with the, like there is a part where the power armor, the dudes flying around in the power armor, the creatures, of course, themselves,
the bullets,
but like, the bullets, you know, stuff like that, obviously, you know, there's gonna be
a lot of practical effects though,
but there's a lot of practice. I mean, for shit's sake. I mean, I was reading a couple different articles about this show overall. One of them, they built Pip-Boys for this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Actually built Pip-Boys and programmed stuff on there. So, one of the actors was talking about it makes it so much easier to make it look realistic. Not that they're just, you know, fumbling around on their wrist with a thing.
They're actually doing
doing things on the Pip-Boys.
Right.
Also, you'd mentioned Walton Goggins. I was reading another article earlier today that he intentionally did not go into anything at all. He didn't play the games. He didn't do any research. He didn't anything about what a ghoul is overall. And I feel like usually I would turn my nose up at that and be like, I don't know, man. But in a world like the Fallout world and with what they're trying to do overall with the story as a whole and the sort of breadcrumbs that they're leaving overall in the story with him and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was a good move.
Yeah.
They get to be completely original with everything. They don't have to like, well, this is the story of this game. You must stick to this exactly. Yeah. You know, well, they have,
it's one of the things that they avoided that I've always been talking about, which is like, you can't, like, if you make a game about a game that's already happened, you're going to play that character differently than X person, than X person, than X person. And when they do a movie, you're going to be like, well, this isn't the choice. This isn't that character for me. You're going to have a disconnect because the character, even in games with like little choices, you know, or just combat options, that's how you view that character. Whereas, so you're going to have that disconnect when it's in a movie. They avoid this by just doing their own characters, by just doing their own story. So you get all of the fallout, but you don't have to, you never disconnected from the characters because you're like, I didn't play this character. I didn't make this character. These aren't characters that I interacted with. You know, these weren't characters I romanced or something like that. You know, these are their completely own characters. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. One other sidebar about how it's made, just because it's a personal preference thing for me. I'm very glad that when I heard they were talking about this show being like three separate stories, that it was going to be one of those things where there's three separate shows happening all at once. And then like the very last episode, they all cross over. Right. You really only have to deal with that kind of for the first episode. And that is it, which is, I love that sort of shit because I hate knowing something like that ahead of time, that like what it's going to be, to where, you know, eventually all this is all different stuff going on, but eventually they'll cross over. A little bit different than, even though they did that in Game of Thrones, but that's an entirely different side. But yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying the show, and it bodes well overall because it's been reviewed very, very well. And season 2 already got greenlit before season one premiered. So awesome. We know we're getting another season of it. And they've been doing a ton of stuff, I guess, pseudo newsy bit. They're going to be releasing 60 frame patches for the for what, Fallout 4 and I think a couple
of. Yeah, they have. They have.
So it's going to end up bringing those into the new generation because, you know, Fallout 4 and all the other Fallout games since the show came out, player count spiked.
Yep. Which they would if the show's a hit.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's the newsy bit, guys. We're going to do some plugs and be done.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, anything you want to plug?
Well, it's been a little bit of time here, but we're going to be recording another episode of Ordo tomorrow, which is going to be nice.
Soon
they will start releasing. I'm thinking maybe here come summertime we can get back on an occasional Lasso stream.
Yeah, honestly, I'd love to find another game to play with you guys all the way through one of these days. I just had such a great, not because of the game, but I had such a great experience with the Redfall.
I wish so badly that you had the version of Game Pass that would allow you to play Halo 5 on cloud. But all three of us could do it because Kayla and I ran through all of the Halo games during COVID. And it would close two loops at once and it would just be the best thing ever.
I don't have that though, so
I know,
but yeah, I would love to find something like that to play with you guys. As far as me, we've got plenty of content, guys. We've got a lot more content coming. We've been a little content light just because we're working on so much in the background. But we've got a lot of content coming. As far as like what you could look forward to right now, obviously this podcast. You can also check out OMGM every Thursday. Every other week, we're doing the TTRPG podcast, Wizards Rest by Sanctorum. I am still doing Prelude, though we have had a couple weeks off just because of like scheduling and whatnot. And I'm also hopefully this week going to release one of the After 50s that I've been talking about, the After 50 hour reviews that I wanted to do. Other than that, you can check out everything this channel has to offer. You can contact us on Facebook at OhMyGamingDH. You can contact us on Twitter at OhMyGaming9. You can join our Discord. Links in the description below. Influence us and all of our shows from there. As long as you guys keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. See you guys next time.
So I did want to tell you one other side story real quick.
Let's do it. Hit me with the side stories.
It has happened. Like Icarus, I've flown too close to the sun.
Okay. I love whenever a story starts with, like Icarus, I've flown too close to the sun. I do the same thing.
I got too high. So the jury is still out on exactly like what it reads. So we got a package of gummies, and to me the package reads each one is 100 milligrams. Kayla and I have gone back and forth on this, but I'm not sure. But what ended up happening was I had two of those gummies because she was like, I took one and didn't feel a thing. You at least need to take two, if not three. And so I'm like, Kayla, no, I think two will be okay. So we put on Step Brothers and we're watching that while that was taking effect. And I realized at one point I'm just teetering over the edge. So I sat up against the edge of the couch and she was like, are you okay? And I'm like, it took all my mental fortitude. I told her, I'm like, hey, I just want to let you know that I believe I'm too high. And
I cannot
it
be.
It felt like my throat was closing.
Oh my God. That's scary.
So yeah. And it was just me for a solid 20 minutes telling myself that I know objectively I'm okay.
That's fun. That's real fun. That's real fun.
Yeah. It, no. No.
No. I've told you I've had a couple of negative experiences with the gummies. I did have some pretty good ones this weekend, but Melissa did her first full gummy on Saturday, and I have never seen her eyes so red in my entire life. It was absolutely hysterical. There was a moment where she just completely lost track of what simple things were going on around her.
Oh no.
Because I get up to get her water just out of the kindness of my heart, thinking she'll pause the show that we're watching, right? The remote's right between us. So I get up to get her water because it's at an ad. So I get up to get her water. The ad ends and the show just starts going. She just keeps watching it. I'm like, oh, okay, that's a little messed up. Finish getting her water. So I make a big show of like walking sarcastically into the room in front of her, placing the water next to her, and then grabbing the remote right in front of her, then moving the remote in front of her eyes and pausing it. When I do this, she looks up at me and goes, "Can I have a cinnamon roll?"
What?
Okay. And some grapes. All right. And I'm like, okay. I can't believe that's the reaction to my sarcastic, "Why didn't you pause this?" movements. But okay. So I go back into the kitchen. I get her grapes and I get her cinnamon rolls. I bring them back out. I give them to her. I sit down and I start to rewind the 2 minutes back that I haven't seen yet because I was in the kitchen getting her water. And she goes, "Why are you rewinding?" And I'm like, "Are you serious right now?" And she's like, "What?" And I was just like, "I got up to get you water before the ad started. When the ad started, and you just failed to pause it." And she just starts giggling. And I was like, "Even worse so, I sarcastically like went out of my way to show you it." And she was like, "What?" And she's just laughing. So I was like, "Let me do a reenactment." So I went back into the kitchen and came back in the same like very high drama fashion, grabbing the remote, and she just lost her mind. She was like, "I didn't see any of that. I had no idea. I thought you were just sitting next to me."
Oh no.
I was like, "Oh wow, okay." Very funny.